There are lots of voices, aren't there, calling out to us, all sorts of different things. Some of them come from inside ourselves, our own desires, our own wishes, our own wants. And many of them also come from outside. Some of them we seek out, some of them we actually want to find out, we want to hear from what other people think about various things. Books we might choose to read, videos, YouTubes we might watch, recordings we might listen to, podcasts and so on a particular subject. Want to find out an answer for something? So easy to find out, but then so easy to find out lots of different opinions on lots of different subjects as well. If you have a medical problem, of course, you go to your doctor, or you ring him up nowadays, or you consult a specialist of one field or another, someone who really knows what they're talking about. Or you might, on the other hand, choose to talk with someone and consult someone who doesn't know anything more about the subject than you do, but who knows you and understands you and can help you think through an issue without any expert knowledge at all, but because they know you. Or it could even be you choose to consult someone who doesn't know you and isn't an expert in, in any particular subject, excuse me, but who is known to be a very caring person, a counsellor of some kind. Of course, the best of all is if you could have someone who combined all of that in one go. Someone who is an expert in their subject, who knows you personally very well, and is a very caring and thoughtful person. Difficult to find someone like that. And of course, there are the voices that we don't want to listen to. Voices that we find distracting or harmful. A lot of public opinion, a lot of peer pressure, quite a lot of broadcast or social media that crowds us in so much. Peer pressure, professional influencers, and so on. Voices that really aren't very helpful to us quite a lot of the time, but we hear them ever such a lot. And we have to decide what should I listen to and what shouldn't I listen to. Who should I base my understanding and thinking and behaviour on, and who should I actually try to keep clear of? Well, such a question as that is really what's at the centre of this chapter, John chapter 10. And I want to start looking at today. So this is the first of a series of three studies, as I've said, and I'm giving the overall series this title, Listen to Jesus. And this morning we'll be looking at the first 39 verses really of the chapter, and this morning we're going to be looking just at the first 10. But in the heart, in the center of this chapter, really almost at the middle of the chapter, is this question that was asked by people who were opposed to the Lord Jesus. At these words, at what Jesus was saying, the Jews were again divided. People who were listening to him, there were differences of opinion about him. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad, why listen to him? Now they asked that question with a kind of a negative, cynical approach. Why listen to him? He's a madman. Don't take any note, don't waste your time on him. Because some people had invested a lot of time in him. You know, his 12 disciples have pretty much given up on everything else to follow him around the country, giving up their jobs, their incomes, their families, for a time at least, to follow him around and learn as much as they possibly could, listen to him as much as they could. Others would maybe give up a day's wage. You know, in the gig economy of those days, they would say, oh, I'll forsake a day or two of work, paid work, and I'll go and listen to Jesus. He's coming our way. I'll take the time off and won't go and work on somebody else's farm, won't go and help in somebody else's fishing boat or whatever it might be, and I'll go and listen to Jesus instead. And so here is this question, why listen to him? Why give up a day's pay? Why travel with him around the country? Why take him seriously? He's actually a madman, some people said. there was such a wide range of opinions. Well, I want to listen to their question and answer it positively, which is actually, I think, what the whole of this chapter does. John chapter 10 really is a very positive answer to the very cynical question that is right in the middle of it. John chapter 9, the previous chapter, is all about spiritual sight, healing of a blind man and teaching following on from that. John chapter 10 is about spiritual hearing. Why listen to Jesus? How do we hear his voice? And I counted up actually 7 references to voice or listening or hearing in these verses, in this chapter. For example, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We have his voice recorded for us here in the New Testament, and more broadly in the whole of the Bible, brought to life for us by the Holy Spirit. So I suppose for us, the question for them was, why give up time and listen to him? The question for us becomes really, why take notice of Jesus? Why read the Bible? What's the relevance of his teachings today? Now, a couple of things before, I just haven't started yet, so don't start the clock yet. A couple of things just to mention by way of introduction, to clear up a couple of issues before we get stuck in this morning. And the first one is a quick comment on that word sheep. Don't know if any of you have ever been mocked as a Christian and said, oh, you're just a sheep. Sometimes it happens, some people rather nastily go around bleating at Christians and say, you're just a sheep. You just believe what you're told. You don't think about anything for yourself. You just follow what the Bible says, and you're just a sheep. Not like me. I'm a free thinker. You know, I make up my own mind about things. But, yeah, you're a sheep. You need that. I don't need that. Well, actually, according to Jesus, who coined the phrase after all, according to him, we're all sheep. Everybody's a sheep. The difference is some sheep are lost and some sheep are found. That's the difference. Some sheep are following a liar, a thief, a murderer, and other sheep are following the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. We're all sheep. Some are lost. Some are found. So if anybody mocks you for that, just remember that. If you've got the courage, you could even tell them that, couldn't you? Second thing, just to get out of the way, start before we get any further, is that the pen, the sheep pen. For example, look at verse 9. I think our default assumption would be, thinking about the sheep, the shepherd, and the pen, the fold, would be that the pen represents being saved. The pen represents heaven, or the pen represents the kingdom of God, and Jesus is the way into it. He is the gate, he's the way in. Now, that's probably our default starting position. We would think that's what it is a picture of. Actually, that's not the case. The pen is just a pen. Sheepfold is just a sheepfold. It doesn't really represent anything very much. The emphasis is on on Jesus, the gate, the watchman, the shepherd. Okay? The pen is just a pen. And you can see it is not a picture. The pen is not a picture of being rescued by Jesus. It's not a picture of being in the kingdom of God from this very verse, amongst others. Let's look at verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Oh, that's what we might start thinking. Oh, the gate, the pen equals a picture of salvation. But then see what he goes on to say. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Okay? So the pen is not a picture of salvation. It is just a sheep pen. All right? And Jesus' sheep go in it and they come out of it. They go in, follow him in, and they follow him out. It's just a sheep pen. It doesn't really stand for anything.
The important part of this is Jesus and not the pen. Okay, now try and remember that. The pen would be just a pen. It would have been used overnight, perhaps, to keep the sheep safe from nighttime predators, or maybe at a time of particular distress or need or danger or something like that. And there would be a gatekeeper, a watchman, who would sit at the gate of the pen, because there might be more than one shepherd taking more than one flock into the pen, and the gatekeeper would have to make sure that the right shepherd took the right sheep out in the morning and no one stole any of the sheep. And it might well be that the gatekeeper would be one of the shepherds, and it might well be that the gatekeeper would actually block the entrance with his own body. So he would not only be a shepherd and a gatekeeper, a watchman, but also the very gate itself. His body might sit there or stand there or even lay there overnight to keep the sheep in, and no one would be able to steal them because he would be in the way. Okay? But the focus, remember, is on the shepherd, who is also the gate of the sheep. Right, so this morning, okay, we're about to start now. Verses 1 to 10 is our focus for this morning. And I want to look at it under these three headings. Listen to Jesus for three reasons in these 10 verses. Listen to Jesus, number one, because he tells the truth. Listen to Jesus, number two, because he knows our names. Listen to Jesus, number three, because he leads to life. So let's get started. He tells the truth. Listen to Jesus because he tells the truth. And we're looking here, first of all, at verses 1 to 3. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Once again, see, the pen is not the picture of being saved. He leads them out of the pen. So here we might be likening listening, deliberately finding to and listening to the voice of an expert in the subject. Jesus tells the truth. So the watchman on the gate decides who takes which sheep in the morning. Which shepherd. And anybody who tries to jump in over the side of the walls of the pen is obviously a thief and a robber. Just the same with us. If we see someone climbing up a ladder, smashing a window to get into a house, we all immediately assume it's a robber and we take absolutely no notice because we don't want to get involved. Or if you see someone smashing the window of a parked car, likewise you pass by on the other side. I don't know whether we should or not, but that's probably what our instinct might be. But if someone sees someone jumping over the walls of a sheep pen, they immediately would know there's a sheep robber, sheep stealer. The gatekeeper would only allow the true shepherd's access to the pen. And Jesus used that well-known fact as an illustration of spiritual realities. There have been many people before him, many false messiahs, who had claimed to be the one who was promised. But they had been liars, and they had only led people astray. They could not bring salvation and life to God's people. They were false claims about themselves. But Jesus here is claiming that he is the true Messiah or shepherd and the test of all spiritual truth, because he is the gate. He's the one who would decide. He tells the truth. Look at verses 7 and 8. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And what this means is that we must compare all teachings with the teachings of Jesus. All opinions, all voices against the opinions and the voices of the Lord Jesus. He is the gate. He is the test of truth. He is the one who says whether you should go with that one or go with that one. And if Stephen will excuse me for saying this, any pastor or any preacher or any book or any video or any podcast or any magazine that we might read seeking to teach a spiritual truth must be tested against the voice of Jesus. And if it agrees with him, he is the gate. He is the one who sits there and says, go with that one or go with that one. He is the gate. He is the one who tells the truth. He is the test. The test of truth. He is the safe shepherd. And we must test everything we hear and listen to and think about against the voice of the Lord Jesus, or of course more broadly, against the teaching of the whole of the Bible. We often struggle to know the right path to follow, don't we? Well, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have his voice written down for us. So let's learn to listen to it. Let's be familiar with it. And let's judge everything else by it. Secondly, listen to the Lord Jesus because he knows our names. Here I suppose you could liken this to the friend who, the friend or the parent or the spouse or the brother or sister who knows you really well. Or that teacher from year seven onwards when you first went up into big school who somehow or other had been there all along, you know, your form tutor or subject teacher or something, and knows you really well. It's always been there in your life for all your time at school. And you've got a problem, you've got things to discuss with someone. Well, you'd probably choose to go to them at school because they know you so well. Well, Jesus knows our names. And if you look at, again at verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Why should we listen to Jesus? Well, because he knows us. Any school teachers here? Any school teachers here? Yeah. You know how important it is to learn the children's names. If you don't know their names, you're stuck. Learn their names, then you immediately earn some kind of control. Well, some kind of control, some respect, some influence over the class. And it shows that you care. I mean, occasionally even a head teacher knows, probably more in a primary school than in a secondary school, but occasionally a head teacher even knows every child's name in the class. Just you imagine your head teacher, when you go back to school, your head teacher calling you by name. Your head teacher, not your class teacher, you know, calling you by name. Whoa, what have I done? You know, am I in deep trouble or have I done something good? Because they know my name. They know my name. They're interested in me. But names are far more than just labels in order to get someone's attention, especially in the Bible, Bible times and in the Bible narratives. You know, a name could stand for the whole person's character. So here's this shepherd calling out his sheep one by another. Come on, Daisy. Come on, Daisy. Wait, time to wake up now. We're going out. Come on, Buttercup. Follow me. Come on, Thistle. Bit of a prickly character, that one. You know, come on, follow me. Knows the sheep by name, calls his sheep by name, knows their character, and they're all different from each other. Well, Jesus knows us by name and by character. He knows what we're like. He knows our pasts. He knows our family backgrounds. He knows the struggles we've been through. But sometimes in the Bible, people's names were changed at important stages of their lives. For example, Jacob became Israel when he had a special meeting with God. Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, showing what he would become. Someone rock solid in the life of the church to come. So we should listen to Jesus because he knows us. He knows you. And when you become a Christian, you're not just following a moral code. You're not just accepting a philosophy of life. You're identifying with a person. A person who knows you, loves you, cares for you. But he calls his own sheep by name. Remember, the sheep pen might contain the sheep of more than one shepherd. And here comes this shepherd, and he calls his flock, his flock, sheep, by name. But it's also a calling out from those who are left behind. He calls his own sheep by name, and the other sheep stay in the pen. Come on, come follow me. Come and follow me. And he leads them out. Now, it may be that, I don't know, someone in this room or someone upstairs or someone at home needs to hear this for the first time. Maybe you've heard about Jesus ever so many times. Maybe you need to hear him calling you. Not you're going to hear a voice in your head or anything like that. But you need to sense that actually this isn't just for other people. But this is for you, personally. So go, come to me. Come to me. Identify with me. Trust in me. Know me. Obey me. Love me. Follow me. Come to me. Or it might be, it's possible, that some of us here or at home are thinking, actually, I'd quite like to hang out with the other crowd at the moment. I'd rather stay in the pen or follow a different shepherd today or for a few weeks or months or years. I'd like to change. I don't want to go with Jesus anymore or at the moment. I don't want to be led out by him. I want to stay behind with the rest. Well, maybe we need to hear this call afresh to us. He leads them out. Come spend time with me. Come and listen to me rather than to all those voices of the world that seem so attracted to you at the moment. Come spend time with me. Maybe all of us need to remember that the very best place to be is near to the Good Shepherd all of the time. There are times to be mixed in with everybody else, for sure. But there are certainly also times to be different. There's certainly always, always times to be the one who knows you better than you know yourself. And thirdly, he leads to life. And we're looking now particularly at verses 9 and 10. I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The false messiahs who had come before would steal and kill and destroy. They would not lead to life. But Jesus gives life to the full. Look at the way Jesus, if we go to Matthew's gospel for a moment, look at the way Jesus described these false leaders that were in society at the time. Matthew 23, verse 4. He said this about them. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. He was talking about the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders of the time. He said, well, they just give you more and more and more rules and regulations, and it just weighs you down, and they're not willing to lift a finger to help. In fact, they couldn't really, could they? What could they do? Where they wouldn't lift a, they weighed people down, they wouldn't lift a finger to help. Well, what did the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus didn't just lift a finger to help. He lifted up his arms to help as he was crucified, died on that cross to lift the burden of sin and guilt. The others came along and made people feel wretchedly guilty and utter failures, and they would do nothing to help. They couldn't. They had no power. The Lord Jesus came and lifted up, well, indeed, his whole body was lifted up on the cross to lift the burden of guilt and sin and set his people free. See, we contrast that with the way the Lord Jesus described himself, still in Matthew's gospel, but earlier in the gospel. But I think this is that these here in Matthew 23, verse 4, are the people he had particularly in mind when he talked about a heavy burden. When we look at what he said in chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is the one who lifts the burden of sin, the burden of guilt, and all other burdens as well. He lifts them. And he, yeah, well, different, quite slightly different analogy rather than sheep and shepherd. Here it now is a yoke of oxen. But take my yoke upon you, or maybe my yoke of discipleship. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I will give you life, and life to the full. You see the contrast? The others are false and fake and bind you down, but he brings life. If you think about false teachers today, there are legalistic religions full of rules, keep you locked up in a different pen all the time, starved, spiritually starved. Some people feel attracted to that. They feel safe in that. Very, very, very legalistic rules, rules, rules. Rigid system, but starved of real spiritual life. And then there is the opposite of that, a libertarian system. No rules. Just go do your own thing, go with the flow, follow the crowd, follow your own desires and instincts. No safety there. Just danger, you know, just sheep, oh, just go sheep, off you go, off you go, you know, see you around, do your own thing, go where you want. What about the wolves? What about the ravines? What about the cliffs? What about the thorn bushes? What about the poisonous plants? And those who feed on poison. Those who bring into bondage of fears and superstitions. Those who would sell false promises to make you feel good, whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be. This will make you feel good. This will set you free. But it brings you into bondage. And often for selfish gain and with destructive results. But Jesus gives fullness of life. Those have no power to rescue us. Jesus died for us, as we'll see next week. And he has this great combination of coming into the pen, safety, security, salvation, protection, but also going out to find pasture, food, adventure, life, both in perfect combination, the security of the pen and the freedom of the field. The protection and the pasture, both together. Perfect, perfect combination. The best way to look after sheep. Why should we listen to him? Because he has our best good at heart. You know, if you think a more restrictive religion would be good for you, beware. If you think a more libertarian approach, no rules at all, do what you like, is better for you, beware. Massive, massive dangers. Do you remember the kite? Yes, here we are, got to it. Just about got time. If remember the kite, it needs both the wind and the string. The sheep need both the pen and the pasture. The Lord Jesus is that perfect shepherd, that perfect saviour, because he leads to life. He keeps us safe and he sets us free, both at the same time. It's absolutely wonderful. And in summary, of course, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Elsewhere in John's Gospel, this is described as the bread of life to feed our, satisfy our greatest hunger, or rivers of living water flowing from within us, the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Why listen to the Lord Jesus? Listen to him because he tells the truth. Judge all that you hear, all the other voices, by his. Listen to him because he knows our names. He knows you, he knows where you've come from, and he knows what he wants to do with you. He's got plans to change you, to lead you. And listen to him because he leads to life. Listen to him, trust in him, follow him. That great shepherd of the sheep. Amen.